Hello, St. Mark, and I want to welcome you to our service today and just welcome you, everybody who's watching online. I don't know if you've been following along so far, but we're actually going through a sermon series on 1 Peter, and we find ourselves in chapter 4 today. And so today we're going to kind of look at this whole idea. We're going to take a look at healing your hidden hurts. And what do I mean by that? I don't mean the external ones, you know, that you can see when you've got a cast or stitches or a Band-Aid, but I'm talking about the internal wounds. So what are those? Well, hidden wounds are the hurtful memories, the recollections that you keep secret but still cause you pain, the hidden wounds of rejection, the hidden wounds of abandonment, of unfaithfulness, the hidden wounds of feeling like you didn't measure up somehow or that you didn't matter, that somebody ridiculed you, that you were insecure, some of those hidden wounds that you don't see on the outside of people's lives but are absolutely there. In fact, on the outside, kind of as an irritating point, it seems like everybody's doing great, but inside, they're hurting. They're struggling. And they're struggling with this whole idea of hope. Hope for what? Hope to be able to move past the things that are absolutely killing them on the inside. So where do we get these hidden wounds from? Right? I think the answer is just from everywhere. I mean, you get them from society. Some of you have been wounded in society through things like prejudice or through injustice. You can be wounded from your family. And those are probably the wounds that hurt the most. They're the people that are closest to you. You can be wounded at school from other kids. Kids can be so mean. You can be wounded by a friend who's betrayed you. You can be wounded at the workplace. As a pastor, and having talked out with hundreds, if not thousands of people at this point, I've discovered that everybody has a hidden wound somewhere. It may be different, of course, but everybody it seems to have one. And so today as we go through what Peter is to share with us, especially on overcoming these hidden wounds, right, we're going to take a look at three keys that God gives us in these passages on how to heal these wounds in your life. And so if that's interesting to you, stay tuned because this is good stuff. As we start the chapter 4 of 1 Peter, one of the first things, though, that Peter shares with us and how to do this very thing is this. He says we've got to learn to forgive the offender. Listen to what he says. He says, since Christ suffered while he was in his body, strengthen yourselves with the same way of thinking that Christ had. Note the words here, the same way of thinking. You see, Jesus understands what it means to be hurt. So he says, he suffered. How many wounds did Jesus have? You guys know? 7 physical wounds Scripture talks about. You got the nail prints in his hands and feet. You got the stripes on his back, the spear piercing his side, crowns of thorns on his head. But he also had the hidden wounds, didn't he? And sometimes those hidden wounds, man, they hurt the most. Wounds of betrayal, wounds of rejection, wounds of hatred. And by far, I think it takes longer to overcome those emotional hurts than it does the physical ones. But Jesus had them all. And so just to start, know this, that when you are hurt, that Jesus understands completely what you're going through. He says, I've been there. I can relate. I can sympathize. He knows what it's like to be maligned. He knows what it's like to be mistreated. He knows what it's like to be rejected. And so Peter says, when you go through a hurt, you need to have that same attitude that Jesus had, having the same way of thinking about it. Man, he's talking to a bunch of people that are being persecuted at this point, that are being rooted out of their homes, that are being fed to lions in the Colosseum. I mean, Emperor Nero was going nuts persecuting Christians. And he's saying you need to have the same attitude and thinking of Jesus Christ when you go through difficulty, when you deal with the external hurts, and when you deal with the internal ones. But what was this thinking of Jesus? Well, the next verse tells us. Jesus was on the cross in complete agony, dying for our sins, and he said this, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He could have blown them away at this point. Jesus didn't have to hang there on the cross. He could have called 100,000 angels down from heaven and stopped the whole thing. Enough is enough, he could have said. But instead, he just hung there on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, I think likewise for us, God is saying you must forgive the offenders in your life if you're ever going to be healed from your hurt. You say, I don't want to forgive those people, Pastor. I mean, they hurt me. It was devastating. It was hard. I'm still smarting from the pain. They don't deserve it. And you know what? You would be absolutely right in all of those. Forgiveness is never deserved. Then you ask, well, why in the world should I have to forgive those people that have hurt me, Pastor? And Peter just says this, because God's already forgiven you. In fact, you'll never have to forgive anybody in your life more than God has already forgiven you. The Bible also says, because you're going to need forgiveness in the future, right? He who won't forgive burns the bridge that he actually has to walk across to get to heaven. I mean, that's what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? A man told John Wesley one time, I could never forgive that man. He was such a jerk. I could never forgive him. And John Wesley said, then I hope you never sin. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, you're actually saying, Lord, forgive me exactly as much as I've forgiven everybody else. Yikes. But finally, the scripture says this, that you're never going to stop hurting until you learn to forgive. See, this is a hard truth, and I know it is, but it's the only way to release the hurt. And so God says, for your own sake, not for their sake, but for your own sake, you've got to learn to forgive. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, it says, watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. In other words, he's just saying resentment always hurts you more than it does the other person. I mean, you may still be resentful over things that happened 10 years ago. Maybe you rehearse them every night. I don't know. And every time that thought comes up, it still makes you upset. It still gives you pain. It still causes you fear. But that other person, they've totally forgotten about it. They're going on with life, not thinking about a thing. You see, resentment never hurts the other person quite as much as it hurts you. It's kind of like taking hot coals in your hand, right? Who gets burnt? You. Job says this, you're only hurting yourself with your anger. And so don't allow people who've hurt you in the past continue to hurt you today by holding on to a grudge against them. So step one in overcoming these hurts that are inside, step one is to forgive the offender. Why? You'll never stop hurting until you do. God goes on to give us more wisdom in 1 Peter. In fact, in the second verse, Peter writes this, from now on, live the rest of your lives controlled by God's will, not by human desires. It's this whole idea of focus on God, right? He says, get your attention off of yourself, off of your desires, off of your hurts, and get it onto God again. Note again the words, from now on. He says, I know you've blown it in the past, but we're working forward, right? He's saying, for the rest of your life, regardless of what's happened to you, regardless of the hurt in your past, it doesn't matter so much what's happened to you in the past as it does the direction your feet are headed right now. In other words, from now on, focus on God's will. And to be honest, that requires a bit of a mental shift for most people. But here's the thing, it's a choice that you've got to make. Are you telling me to ignore my past, Pastor? No, I'm not doing that at all. It's okay to know about your past. It's okay to recognize your past. It's okay to feel sadness over the things that have happened to you in the past that have hurt you. The Bible actually calls that mourning. And the Bible says this about mourning. It says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's okay to mourn, but there's a big difference between mourning and moaning, isn't there? Mourning is saying, I'm sad about that incident. It hurt me deeply. Moaning is saying, I'm never going to get over it. But that's not true. That's a choice. Whether you choose to get over a hurt or not is always a choice. Sometimes, though, we just get stuck in our pain, don't we? And as a result, we get stuck in the past, and we just can't seem to get on with the present or the future. And so the question just literally becomes this. How do I get unstuck from the past? It's killing me. And the answer that God gives is you focus on the healer and not on your hurt. You focus on God who wants to heal you and who has the power to actually bring a positive purpose out of your pain. That God somehow, someway can take even the bad things that have happened to us and still bring good out of them. But that's just the way God is, right? And so what's God's secret? I mean, how does God turn a negative into a positive? How do you take a minus sign and turn it into a plus sign? Answer scripture gives? You make a cross out of it. And the T that the cross makes, it just stands for trust. You've got to trust God because of Jesus. And so the way you get over hurt is that you first forgive the offender. Second, you focus on God and say, God, I'm going to let you settle the score. I've got to. I've got to get on with my life. So I'm going to trust you to balance the books. Instead of me trying to get even, I'm going to let you balance the books. That's called trust. And that's what Jesus did. In 1 Peter 2, verse 23, it says, when Jesus suffered, he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. The problem is that we forget that God sees everything that we're going through. We forget that God knows about all the hurts that we've had. I think maybe subconsciously we hold on to a hurt because we think that somebody's got to remember, right, how bad it was. We think if we forget, the other person gets off scot-free. But no, no, they don't, because God always remembers. In Psalm 56, verse 8, it says, you, God, know how troubled I have been. You have kept a record of my tears. Isn't that fascinating, right? Do you know that God has kept a record of every one of the tears that you've ever cried? He's kept a record of the tears that you couldn't cry even because you were so pained inside. They were internal tears. God's kept a record of all of it. All that to say is that your pain, it matters to him. He feels it and he wants to help you so that you can stop rehearsing the pain again and again because God is going to remember it for you. Let him settle the score. Let him balance the books. Nothing has ever slipped by God's watchful eye. And by the way, Jesus just says that there are three huge benefits of giving your hidden wounds to him. You know what they are? Hope, joy, and peace. Peace because you're not reliving the past over and over. Joy because you've moved past it. And hope for a better for tomorrow. And just quickly, what would you rather be filled with? Hope, joy, and peace, or misery and depression and resentment? But God says it's always been your choice. Trust me, he says. And finally, the last step that Peter addresses is this. He says, at some point, we've got to face the future, right? Job says the same thing in Job 11, verses 13 through 16. He says, put your heart right, reach out to God, and then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory like floods that are past and remembered no more. Would you like all of those painful memories in your life to fade from your memory? Then God says, put your heart right, forgive the offender, then reach out to God, focus on God, and then face the world again. Face my future firm and courageous. You see, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's just moving ahead in spite of your fear. So he says, move ahead. Stop living in denial. Stop pretending it doesn't hurt. Stop trying to fake it, to mask it, to cover it up. Get in touch with where you are, and then get on with your life. Don't keep reliving the past over and over and over again. Get on with your life and move forward. Because God says if you do, they will fade away. These horrible memories from the past, they will fade away. Now, how is it that when I focus on the future, my hurts from the past fade away? That doesn't make sense. Well, it's because there's a universal law that goes into operation, right? When you focus on one thing, it tends to cause you to forget something else. And so the key to forgetting is refocusing, God says. If you want to get rid of those memories, to let them fade, he says, refocus on the future. Don't say, I'm not going to think about that, because why? Because the whole time you'll be thinking about that, focusing on that. Instead, he says, think about the future. Now you say, I don't want to focus on the future. It scares me. Then my prayer is this, is tell God about it. David did. In Psalm 34, verse 17, he says, the Lord hears good people when they cry out to him, and he saves them from all of their troubles. In other words, if you're afraid of the future, tell it to God. God says, cry out to me. Be honest about your feelings. Be honest with God. Tell God, I'm hurt. I'm afraid. I'm depressed. I resent that person. I don't like what they did to me. Go ahead and pour out your feelings to God. Be honest with him. Why? So that God will know how you feel? No, he already knows how you feel. But he says, do it for your own sake. It's cathartic. You just get it out. The healing wounds must be opened up to the love of the Father for him to heal them. I always talk about this imaginary table in service, right? And where we put all of our hurts on the table, the hidden wounds, the things that are bothering us, our worries, our fears, the pain from the past. And as we put it on this table, God says, yay, now we can finally deal with this stuff that's been plaguing you all along. You know, most people, instead of doing this, they look for a quick fix when they're hurt. And that's what Peter's talking about here. For example, have you ever noticed that when people are in pain, they'll do almost anything to avoid it, or to remedy it, or to mask it, or whatever, right? If you have this painful memory about the past that keeps coming back again and again and again, well, some people just go get drunk, and then they forget about it, right? Or if the stress of life becomes unbearable, they just pop some pills. Or if there's an aching loneliness inside that just won't go away, you'd maybe go and settle for some one-night stand and pick up somebody at the bar. But here's the thing, the world only has cheap temporary painkillers to offer. And they work for a while, they do. You forget your troubles for a while, but afterwards the troubles, they come back every single time. So how do you spell relief? Well, some people spell relief drugs. Some people spell relief booze. Some people spell relief sex. Some people spell relief TV or internet or porn or whatever. But do you really want to know how to spell relief? The Bible says it's Jesus. That's the only lasting solution and ultimately the only thing that makes a difference. It's Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me if you are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is saying, come to me. You don't have to understand it all. I'm not going to put all these rules and regulations and more guilt on you. I just want to forgive and give you rest. Mental, spiritual, physical, emotional rest. You're wearing yourselves ragged right now, destroying, complicating your lives, at a loss for directions. And so Jesus says, just come. Come to me if you are weary and overburdened, and I will release you from the past. I will forgive your sins. I'll give you rest. Guys, I pray that you receive that message today in a way that just hits home, that allows you to deal with some of the past stuff, that gives you strength over the present to focus now on moving forward. So go with that encouragement and go with this prayer today. God, we love you so much, and we just thank you for Jesus. As we talk about these hidden hurts, man, stuff that we all struggle with in different ways. And I don't know why it is that we can't let go of them. We've let go of so many other ones in the past, but there's some that just, I don't know, they stick. So often it's because we're listening to lies about ourselves through those remembrances. So often they were just so painful, it's hard for us to release those memories, to release that hurt. So Father, I just pray that you walk us through these steps, that you'll get us to a place of forgiveness, that you get us to a place where we're focusing on you, where you get us to a place where we're ready to move on with the future. Father, we can't do this, but we know you can. And so we pray that you send your Spirit, that you spend your word, that you spend everything into our lives, and that you transform us so that we can live that life of peace and strength and hope that you desire for us. And that's our prayer today, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, it was fun hanging out with you today, and so go with this blessing. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. Amen. Amen.